Hello, friends, and welcome to the Imago Nutrition Podcast. My name is Mark Lesney. I will be your host today, and this is the podcast where we answer your questions and give you practical nutrition strategies to help you and your family flourish. And if you are someone who is in the habit of tracking your nutrition, which I think is a very good thing, and you're tracking your fitness, this podcast will be taking a look at whether or not you should be accounting for your daily fitness activity with your daily nutritional targets. And so if you have a question, by the way, that you would like us to consider answering on a future episode, feel free to shoot that to us. You can do that by going to imagonutrition.com. That's imagonutrition.com/podcast. There's a form there. You can send us your question and we will consider it as a topic for a future episode. And so, great question we got today from Michael in Tennessee. And so he asked, quote, should I account for workouts when counting calories, especially when the tracking app, being Lose It or MyFitnessPal, can factor that into overall calorie count? Okay. So, Michael, great question. Thanks for asking. What I'd like to do is talk a little bit about the freedom you have with this consideration, but also what I generally recommend for my clients. Okay. So to start, if you have found a system of doing this, which is basically accounting for daily fitness activity and then adding that into your daily nutrition intake, if you have found this to be sustainable and in accordance with your goals, and you are seeing the progress that you want, you absolutely can. You can continue to do that. I'm not here to dissuade you from doing anything that is currently working for you. However, in general, with my clients, so in general, I don't recommend this for really two main reasons, which we'll talk about. That may or may not be helpful as you think through maybe the long-term implications of this. So again, you absolutely can. I am all for things that are working in a sustainable and healthy way to help you achieve your goals. I am a fan of both accounting for your fitness level or your activity level, as well as tracking and understanding your nutritional intake in accordance with your goals and nutritional targets. So I am a fan for what is working. But if you're kind of questioning whether or not it's working, and if you need to kind of double down and get focused on doing this, I in general don't recommend to my clients that we do this. We'll talk about why. Two main reasons. Number one, just found that it can be overly cumbersome. Okay. As relatively easy as it is, it has never been easier, as I often say, in the history of mankind to understand with a fair amount of accuracy what you are consuming in terms of nutrition, calories, et cetera. Okay. So while it has never been easier with all the apps that are out there, with restaurants putting general calories right there on the menu, et cetera, it's never been easier. But at the same time, let's not pretend like it doesn't require some effort to track your nutrition. I don't think it's a ton. I'm a fan of it. But I have found the process of looking at daily fitness activity and then adjusting that daily nutrition target on a day-to-day basis can be overly cumbersome. Okay. So what I work on with my clients a lot is being really brilliant at the basics. And we'll talk about how to account for your fitness activity, even if you're not making day-to-day changes. Okay. So number one, and in general, I don't, because I have found it to be overly cumbersome. I would rather have people work on sort of an average, their activity level, their nutritional intake over the course of a week. So we talk a lot about the law of averages. And then that can help simplify and help you establish being really brilliant at the basics, which is make sure you're hitting your nutritional targets, make sure you're hitting your nutritional framework, things like protein and fiber and water, et cetera, without necessarily needing to complicate it with day-to-day adjustments based on activity level. Okay. So number one, I found that it can be overly cumbersome for a lot of people. And I want them to get really good at being brilliant at the basics that are in a sustainable way. And then number two, is that fitness trackers, or what we would call an energy expenditure tracker, something that is tracking the amount of calories that you're burning in the day, tends to be inaccurate. Okay. It's usually inaccurate. I will cite one bit of research here. And by bit, I don't mean it's small. It's actually very strong evidence. And there are many studies out there that are taking a look at fitness trackers, energy expenditure trackers, et cetera, et cetera. But the one that I will point to is called the Accuracy and Acceptability of Wrist Wearable Activity Tracking Devices. It's a systematic review of the literature. This is in the Journal of Medical Internet Research. Okay. So long story short, a systematic review is that one of the highest, along with meta-analyses. It is the highest form of scientific evidence that we use to establish good practice. So the reason I'm citing this one is because it's a systematic review of studies as opposed to being a singular study. Okay. And so in this study, they said, quote, we reported on the acceptability and accuracy of 72 wrist wearable devices for measuring physical activity produced by 29 companies. Okay. And within this, all right, they found, quote, the Fitbit Charge and Fitbit Charge HR were consistently shown to have good accuracy for step counts. And the Apple Watch was good for measuring heart rate. However, and this is key, none of the tested devices, again, 72 devices over 29 companies, none of the tested devices proved to be accurate in measuring energy expenditure, okay? So that's ultimately what we're talking about is if you're going to account for your energy expenditure, how many calories did I burn in this given set of, you know, exercise or routine? Then I'm going to add those calories back in to my nutritional targets. Okay. So one reason, again, I don't recommend this is it can be overly cumbersome. Two, because those trackers tend to be pretty woefully inaccurate. Okay. So if that thing is saying, hey, you've done 400 calories and you add 400 calories in, what happens when you actually only burned 150? And by the way, I've seen no evidence that these trackers underestimate, right? Like you did a half hour of cardio and they're like, oh, you could add 75 calories to your nutrition. They tend to be like, you just burned 458 calories, which is rarely, if ever the case. Okay. And so we go and we do that and we add in what tends to be, you know, around there, maybe 500 calories. And then we're not losing weight or we're gaining weight. We can't figure it out because we're trying to make these adjustments off an inaccurate data set. Okay. So with all that said, Michael, if it's working for you and you are seeing the progress you want and you, this is not overly burdensome for you, and in accordance with your goals, you are getting closer and closer and continually progressing. I'm not here to dissuade you. I'm just here to say in general with my clients, I try to keep it as simple as possible. We actually account for activity level in our nutrition framework so that what they are consuming already accounts for that. All right. And we'll talk about how we do that right now. Okay. So instead, let me just give you how I work with my clients and you can kind of take it or leave it as it works for you. So what we do is that I base with my clients, and again, weight loss, whether it's muscle gain, you know, we do a nutritional assessment, we get a nutritional framework, okay, for all my clients, no matter their goal. And so, but again, let's say it's weight loss. What we do is we base our daily and our weekly calorie goal, which is an average, right? Your weekly intake is just an average of your daily intake. So we base that number with activity level already included. Okay. Now at the preset, this is a bit of a nice little way to do it because what it does is it helps you sort of plan for the week. It can be a little bit of an accountability. If you take a look at the week ahead and you say, hey, I plan to work out this many days and I'm going to base my nutrition on that. Sometimes it can help as a little bit of an accountability mechanism. It says, look, I based my intake this week on working out 3 to 5 times. And it can kind of help you say, look, I got to get my 3 to 5 times because that's what my plan is for the week. So I like that aspect of it. Okay. And the way that we do this, I'll give it to you. This is not a secret. Okay. The way that I do this with my clients is that we use a total daily energy expenditure calculator. Okay. And I'll walk you through the steps on how to do this real quick to take a look at what their average calorie intake should be in accordance with their goals. Now, of course, it's not ever going to be 100% accurate. No methodology or calculation is, but it gives us a starting place. And then part of the coaching program is, of course, to make adjustments along the way as necessary. But here's what I would do, Michael, if I was in your shoes and I was guiding you as a client. I would say head over to tdeecalculator.net. So TDEE, which stands for Total Daily Energy Expenditure Calculator.net. That is going to use what's known as the Mifflin-St. Gior formula. All of us that had formal training in nutrition had to likely learn how to do that manually. I remember doing it. Then I took the test and have never done it manually since because there's a website that does it for me. And so TDEcalculator.net, that will run the Mifflin-St. Gior formula. You just need to give it your gender, your age, your current body weight, not your target body weight, your current body weight in pounds, your height, and then your activity level. So let's talk about this. So what you're going to do is you are going to load your activity level into the numbers that it's going to spit out. Okay. So there's an activity dropdown in that web form before it calculates your numbers. And it has a couple options. Number one is that you're sedentary. Essentially, you get no workouts throughout the week. Okay. So sedentary is zero workouts per week. Okay. Light exercise, they consider that 1 to 2 days of exercise per week. Now you may say, what exactly is exercise? In general, what I say is it's about, 45 minutes to an hour of moderate intensity exercise. Let's just call it that. So if you're getting a good workout 1 or 2 days a week, you're light exercise. Okay. Per this formula. If you are getting moderate exercise, that's 3 to 5 days a week. If you are getting heavy exercise, that's 6 to 7 days a week. And if you're an athlete, you may be training up to 2 times per day, okay? Now, what I tell people is when you run this number, don't go with your hopes and your dreams. Go with a conservative number for your activity, right? So let me give you an example. I tend to strength train at least 5 to 6 times per week. Okay, about 5 to 6 times per week. And I play in 1 or 2 soccer games a week. And yet I still run my numbers as moderate exercise, which is 3 to 5 days a week. Because some weeks, sometimes I might only get three days in. Okay. I may not have a soccer game that weekend. We may have a bye week or something like that. But irrespective of your activity level, I would say go one notch lower than where you reasonably are, just so that you're on the conservative side of this, because as Americans, we tend to overestimate how much we exercise, how much we burn, and we underestimate how much we consume. So be a little conservative with that. And yes, by the way, if you know that that week ahead is dramatically different than last week, let's say last week you worked out 7 days a week, and then this week you're going on a business trip and you're going to work out zero, you may want to rerun your numbers and account for that with the activity level. Chances are your gender, age, weight, height hasn't changed much since last week anyways. So you're going to want to account for that in your activity level. And it can just be kind of fun, honestly, to see the difference between what happens, what sort of calorie intake should I have if I'm working out 3 days a week or 6 days a week or 0 times a week, okay? So, and remember, so after you've accounted for your activity level, click submit, that thing will calculate. And what it will do is it will give you one big number. It's going to give you a lot of numbers on that page. It's going to give you one big number. And it's going to say something like your maintenance calories. Those are the amount of calories that it is estimating you need to consume to stay the same weight, not to lose weight, because it doesn't know your goal, right? You just put in gender, age, weight, height, and activity. You didn't tell it, I want to get bigger. I want to lose some weight or lose some fat. So what you need to do with your maintenance calories is understand that if you have a weight loss goal, you need to consume fewer calories than that. I generally don't recommend more than 250 to 500 calories below that. Okay. At most, maybe 750. That's a bit more rare in terms of what I've seen with clients over the last 15 plus years. So in general, you want to be consuming, you have to be consuming less than your maintenance calories in order to lose weight. Okay. That's the law of energy balance. Okay. So what I would say is that take a look at that maintenance calories and then understand where you are on average. And remember that your body operates on this law of averages. Okay. So it's not as though if you go a little over your calories one day, suddenly you're going to gain a bunch of fat. Okay. If you underfeed a little bit one day, and then overfeed the next day, that's going to operate in this understanding of the law of averages, okay? So in general, if you have a target of, let's say, 2,200 calories a day, one day you might eat 2,400 calories, the next day you might eat 2,000 calories, but after 7 days, your average should be that 2,200 calories, of course, okay? And again, that average needs to be lower than your maintenance calories if you have a weight loss goal, okay? Or you could be doing, quote, everything right and you won't be losing weight because energy balance dictates wait. Okay. So all that's to say, that's a bit of the methodology that we use with our clients. So again, let me reiterate. Great question. A lot of people ask it. In general, I don't recommend it, but if it's working for you, in accordance with your goals, it's not overly burdensome. It doesn't frustrate you. It doesn't annoy you. You are seeing the progress that you want. Terrific. Keep doing it, right? Keep on keeping on. Okay. This is not a make or break thing. Okay. However, if you're saying, man, I'm just trying to figure out this weight loss thing and it's not working, and maybe I need to start, you know, adding or subtracting based on my fitness level, what I would recommend is doing that at the onset of your planning. So your nutritional targets should already account for your activity level for that week, if not for the consistency of month after month. Okay. So I work out kind of the same year round. So I don't have to do really week to week adjustments, let alone day to day just adjustments based on my activity level and my nutrition intake. So all that said, there is definitely more nuance. Okay. I don't want to oversimplify it. So if we have any questions, feel free to reach out. You can get a hold of us through our website at imagonutrition.com/contact. But great question. That's how I work with my clients. I hope it's been helpful for you and for the rest of our listeners. So with that, if this has been helpful, please subscribe to the podcast so you get alerted of upcoming episodes. Drop us a review, let us know how we're doing, and share with a friend. We'd love to help as many people as possible. If you are on social media, we are as well. You can follow us across all major social media platforms, including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, X or Twitter, whatever we're calling it these days, at Imago Nutrition. That's I-M-A-G-O Nutrition. And as always, we'd like to thank Happy Pill for our theme song, Think About Food, because on the Imago Nutrition podcast, we're always thinking about food. We'll see you next time.